Chapter 1. Something has to give. You can't fill a glass that's already full. I was full to overflowing, and I didn't even know it. Even after all the decades of listening to and studying and applying spiritual principles, like those of abundance and manifestation, as well as hard work, my life still seems so very challenging. Don't get me wrong. I was by no means a dismal failure. Money was fine. I had a girlfriend in London. Spent Christmas in Paris. There was the California sunshine and my BMW motorcycle. As if those are the things that make real success. I'd seen and done quite a few things well enough. I meditated. I changed my beliefs. Learned better. Repeated my learning and deepened my understanding of the principles I studied. I did affirmations, yoga, and CrossFit. I'd spent years doing my best, applying what I knew, staying positive, trying to be loving, working hard, making money, and acquiring most of the signs of outer success. I had a big savings account and a seat at a local restaurant with a Michelin star, where they call me by my first name. Yet my internal life was still a struggle. The circumstances of my life would change, and I seemingly had no influence on them whatsoever, at least not for very long, despite my fervent study of the laws of manifestation. Acting as if, visualizing my desires, repeating affirmations, improving my success mindset. All of this came to a head after I decided to close my contracting business in Los Angeles and move to my hometown to do business there, thinking I just needed a geographical change. I realized I hit a wall when I found and I started to buy a house at the beach, but I just couldn't get myself to say yes. LA had been a good home to me for decades, but the throngs of people, the traffic, and my desire to be out of such a large metropolitan environment were pushing me away. However, I found it to be the same when I moved to Nashville. I looked at one business opportunity after another, trying to find some inspiration, trying to say yes, but it seemed like I lacked motivation. My significant other and I were living on savings. The change of location did provide some temporary relief. I have a family and friends in Nashville. We enjoyed that part. Barbecues and dinner and Kentucky bourbon, but still, I couldn't get moving and worked out even harder, 6 days a week. After some time, my California guys called me to China to talk about long-term specialty manufacturing for some U.S. real estate holdings they have. In L.A., I was the last guy they called after they had tried all the standard tape measure wearing truck driving contractor options and found them insufficient. As a contractor, I was much more creative and design driven. My type of clients loved that about me. They could talk to me in the language they understood, and I could bring their ideas to life. So I flew to Shanghai. Talk about a giant metropolis. We drove 2 hours within the city limits to a factory to look at some production machines. We wanted to do some very high-end vending machines to sell AirPods and phones and fancy chocolate and cashmere sweaters and umbrellas and whatever. We discussed it over lunch. Solutions came easily. We could make it look amazing, make the machines highly functional and beautiful. This was a job I normally would have loved, and which would be highly lucrative. But I felt more confused than ever. The traffic, the masses of people, the 10-year arc of work required, the commuting to China to oversee work, none of it stimulated me. In fact, quite the opposite. The guys who had invited me into this were saying, "You can write your own ticket, Craig. Just tell us what you need to say yes." And still, I couldn't say yes. I thought I was broken. It made me physically ill. I flew home, totally deflated and defeated. 2 weeks later, someone called to ask if I would consider building them a hotel in Nashville. Another opportunity that once upon a time I would have jumped at. I couldn't say yes to any of it. What was wrong with me? So many opportunities I could not say yes to. I hated myself for that. The fact was, and I had to admit it, I was so tired. And I hated admitting that too. I felt horrible for admitting that. So I began to take a careful look at my life again. Not much else to do, right? I'd said no to everything coming my way. So for the time being, I didn't have any real commitments. As I've said, I thought I knew all the stuff. I'd read dozens of books, corrected my mindset, studied deeply the laws of life, or so I thought, and the words and truths of many of the greatest teachers I could find. So I reasoned that a lack of knowledge wasn't the problem. I knew enough, and it hadn't saved me from my current state. Neither were relationships an issue, it seemed. I was attentive at home. I had friends and family. I thought that in general, I was pretty mentally healthy. So what was wrong? Everything just felt dense and difficult. I seemed to be carrying an invisible load I could not identify. But where was it hiding? So I realized I really needed to look for it, this internal trouble, this invisible burden. I gave myself permission for the first time in my life to ask what was really going on inside of me. This was a very challenging question for my successful self to ask, because it implied that something was wrong with me, and that meant that in some way I was failing. Many think that looking for trouble brings trouble. But I was looking for a seemingly invisible trouble that was already creating more of itself through unhelpful beliefs and conditioning. Time to find it, not avoid it, or suppress it, or resist it. As I explored within, I began to realize just how tired I really was. Slowly, it dawned on me that there really were things within me that required attention. I developed sleep apnea. I lost weight. I split from my significant other. I made bad investments. I lost money. And for the first time in my life, I let myself admit how bad I felt. Instead of pushing down the trouble inside me, instead of just getting over it, ignoring it, pushing through it, using a new affirmation or belief to replace it, or attempt to negate it, I let myself admit what hurt. I let myself hear all the things I had packed down and out of the way. Everything I had paved over with the busyness of life and success. It took some time for the awareness to begin to flow, days, weeks, but slowly, I began to hear a stream of feeling inside of myself that I had not consciously heard before. One I'd actually gone out of my way to avoid, and it hurt. It had been hiding in plain sight all this time. In fact, for most of my life, I gave that stream a voice. I let it speak, and it spoke through an upswell of memories, dreams, thoughts, feelings. Up it all came, so much of the stuff I had avoided facing within myself while I was busy living my life. This was a process. And at first, it felt horrible. I let myself hear all the judgments and self-criticism and upset and loss. More importantly, I let myself feel them. It took me quite some time and no small amount of pain, but I learned to witness those feelings and just let them be, without judging, just watching. I learned very slowly to be a friend to myself as I processed these things with as much attention as I could. It was like choking up concrete and glass. But I also learned that if I didn't process those difficult feelings and harsh self-judgments, I would keep suffering. My feelings were evidence of deeply held beliefs about self and life that needed to be processed. They were in the way, limiting, difficult, narrow beliefs resulting from a lifetime of ignoring fundamental, if inaccurate, conclusions about myself I'd come to very early in my life. Call it conditioning. I'd never questioned these conclusions, never even realized I'd adopted them as a part of how I saw myself. And this conditioning gave rise to more beliefs, thoughts, and feelings and ways of being that were causing me pain and choking the infinite possibility of my life. They were running the show, and I didn't even know it. So I resolved it was time to empty them out. But instead of overthrowing them, I learned to dissolve them with loving attention. In this book, I'll show you, in detail, how to do the same.